Welcome to Crossroads, a podcast that explores the intersection of faith and Christian living. Crossroads is part of the media ministry at Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. Get to know us by visiting us online at fapc.org.
Hi, I'm Jamie Staley, Director of Christian Education here at Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church. Welcome back to Credo, Theological Foundations of Our Faith, here on Crossroads in the Living Room. So far this year, we've been talking about the mothers of the Messiah for our Credo series. We've talked about Tamar and Rahab, and I'm really excited this afternoon to be joined by Reverend Werner Ramirez to talk about Ruth. So welcome, Werner. So excited you could be here with me today.
Yeah, I had a really long commute from the fourth floor to the living room. It's good to be here.
Awesome. So one thing that we've been doing here is we've been giving a little recap. Folks at home, you can find the story of Ruth in the book of Ruth in the Bible. But what we will do is give a little bit of a recap. This is kind of a fun activity. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to recap the book of Ruth. And I am also going to do the same thing. So who do you want to go first, me or you?
I think I'm going to take the Uno reverse card and have you go first.
All right. All right. So here we go. Ready? 30-second recap. In the book of Ruth, we start with Naomi, who is married and has two sons who are married to two women, Ruth and Orpah. Unfortunately, the husband and two sons die, and Naomi decides she is going to head back home to Israel. Her daughter-in-law, Ruth, decides to go with her. She says, "Where you go, I will go. Your God will be my God." She goes with her. They live together, and they don't have very much money, and so she has to glean in fields where she meets a relative named Boaz, and that's 30 seconds. That was fast.
Wow. That is very quick. Okay.
All right. Ready?
So...
go.
I'm going to start off with something you missed just at the beginning. Naomi and her husband Elimelech, they immigrate from Bethlehem to Moab, and that's where that story starts, and that's where he and his two sons pass away in Moab. So they go back to Bethlehem with Naomi and Ruth is a Moabite. She is from Moab. She is not an Israelite. So they go back there. They hang out with Boaz. And oh my gosh, my time's coming up. But Boaz eventually like agrees to marry her with some weird ways. And now they redeemed their story. And Ruth is very loyal to her family. And oh my gosh.
I think that's it, Werner. Oh. That's it. You had 40 seconds. I gave you a couple extra there.
Okay. I'm frustrated, but friends, maybe you take a pause on the podcast or watching this on YouTube and you go and read 4 chapters in the Bible. You'll be okay.
It's not too long. It's not too long. And honestly, we will dive into a little bit more. That was just kind of hopefully remembering for folks at home to say, oh, right, the book of Ruth. I've read this one before. So let's dive into a little bit of that story. I'd love to know, you know, I'm assuming this was not your first time reading the book of Ruth, but what were some of the things that during this time researching that you got a new perspective on?
Yeah. So when I did the Credo class on Sunday, we did kind of a much longer version of a quick recap of Ruth. It was more of a 7-minute recap. But then I focused our time doing a Bible study on the book of Ruth from an immigrant lens. And because what we notice is that there are immigrants in this story. We start off with Naomi and Elimelech, who immigrate from Bethlehem. In Hebrew, Bethlehem is translated house of bread. So they leave the house of bread to go to Moab. They leave the house of bread because there's a famine. So they go, they immigrate for economic reasons. They go to Moab and their sons marry. Elimelech passes away. The two sons pass away. Orpah and Ruth are now widowed. So is Naomi. And Naomi says, I think it's time for me to go back home. But you two, the Israelites hate the Moabites. So I think you two should stay. Orpah gives her a big hug and says, thank you. I will stay here. Bless you on your journey. And Ruth is completely loyal to her family and says, no, I will go with you. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. And then so they immigrate. Well, Ruth immigrates alongside Naomi, who's going back home. And so I really wanted to look at this story from that immigrant lens. And what got me excited about this is actually a book by a woman named Karen Gonzalez. She wrote a book called The God Who Sees Us, Immigrants, the Bible, and the Journey to Belong. And in this book, she takes a look at a couple key figures in the Bible who immigrated and looking at a different lens of the Bible. So that's kind of how I started this Credo class, is looking through those lens of how they immigrated and the complexities that come around that.
Yeah, yeah. So I know a little bit about your own immigration story, your family's immigration story, but would love to have you just kind of share a little bit about where did you see maybe your family's immigration story within this story of Ruth as you went along?
Jamie, that's an incredibly good question. Let me go back to Ruth's story first, and then I'll kind of compare and contrast a little bit with my own immigration story. But the Book of Ruth is one of the few stories where an immigrant is actually treated the way that the Torah, that the laws command them. Throughout the Torah, throughout the Old Testament, and even in the New Testament, there is this commandment to treat the immigrant as one of your own, as a citizen of your own land. And here, Boaz sees Ruth. He is kind to her. He lets her glean from his field, which is another commandment from the Book of Deuteronomy. And he treats her with compassion, makes sure that she takes Sabbath, really treats the Moabite as if she was an Israelite. Mm. And it's a beautiful part of that story. I feel like for the most part, people treated me with kindness. When our family came to the United States, I was 5. So part of it, I didn't know exactly what was happening. But one of the core memories that I have is when we first moved to the United States, we went to a very small Presbyterian church. We were the only immigrant family in this Presbyterian church in Long Beach, California. And we had a very critical meeting with immigration. And the pastor there decided he wanted to come alongside with us. Wow. And he put on his collar and he went to that meeting with us. When he got there, it turns out that he wasn't allowed to go in. But instead, he found a ball and took me outside and we played soccer outside. But the fact that he was willing to come with us showed a hospitality that that reminds me of Boaz a little bit.
You know, Boaz is such an interesting character. When at the very beginning when we did our 30 seconds, we didn't really get into Boaz and who he is. And he is such a fascinating character. I spoke with Natalie last week about Rahab and kind of that idea that Boaz may have known, you know, some immigration stories. Tell me a little bit more about how you where you see Boaz kind of with hospitality and justice in this story.
Yeah. So there's two aspects I think of Boaz that I think are really important. He is filled with hospitality. He is filled with righteousness. It says that he is a man of valor. And then Ruth is also called a woman of valor as well. So there is this righteousness to Boaz. And at the same time, he is just simply obeying the laws of the Torah. I'll compare it this way. I think I'm a good dad. And I do stuff that good dads are supposed to do. Like, I change my son's poopy diapers. And sometimes people hear that and they're like, oh my gosh, what a good dad that you are. But that's stuff that I'm supposed to do as a father. It's not stuff that I'm exempt from. And here in this story, Boaz, yes, he's righteous, but he is literally just obeying the Torah. He knows that the Torah is saying to care for the immigrant. He knows that in Deuteronomy, it says, hey, let the immigrant glean from your fields. So yes, he shows hospitality. Yes, he comes from an immigrant background himself, but he's also just simply obeying the law. But I do have to wonder, that with his mother being Rahab, who immigrated from Jericho, who she extended hospitality to strangers, who then in return was extended hospitality as well. This is in his DNA. It's in he knows that his mother had to do what she had to do to survive, and she see, and I have to wonder that he sees Ruth doing what she can to survive in this. And I talked about this on Sunday as well. Often when we think about how we care for the immigrant today, we almost talk about it from like a savior complex. And often when we talk about Boaz, we talk about Boaz as being kind of the savior complex that saves Ruth, like as if Ruth is this princess that needs to be saved. But Ruth conspires this whole thing alongside Naomi. Ruth has agency in what she's doing. Ruth knows exactly what she's doing when she goes to the tent to go find Boaz. You'll have to read about that in there. I'm not going to go into that in the podcast. And like Boaz's mother, Rahab, does what she needs to do to survive. And I think that's incredibly important when we read the book of Ruth. And when we think about immigrants today, is reminding ourselves that they have agency in their story as well, and how they want to do the immigration process, and then how they do what they need to do to survive. You asked about my immigration stuff. We did what we needed to do to survive to get into this country and in order to stay in this country. At one point, there was literally a glitch in the system that kept us in this country when we probably should have been sent back. And we just rode along with the glitch because that's what we needed to survive.
Yeah.
And luckily, we were able to get our permanent resident cards in 2004. But sometimes you have to do what you have to do to survive.
Yeah.
And we had our own agency in that as well.
In that. I love that you brought up that, you know, it may have been in Boaz's DNA and this idea of agency. We've seen that in all the women we've been talking about this spring. The story of Tamar, the story of Rahab, and that they've all been doing what they needed to do to survive, right? So when we take a look at the book of Matthew, we see this genealogy that's very odd in that it lists women. That's not typical. And it lists these women who have done what they needed to do to survive.
And they're also outsiders. Every single one of them is an outsider in some way.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a nod from not just from the book of Matthew, but from God's very own self, that God has always looked out for the outsiders, that God has a heart for the marginalized and the oppressed. We heard a comment that like, well, in this country, we all come from immigrants. So that means we should just love everybody. And yes, we should love everybody. But there's something special about God's heart for those that are on the margins. So this commandment to care for the immigrant, the orphan, the widow, is because there is a part of God's heart that is for the oppressed.
So I've asked each pastor so far this question. Why do you think Matthew included these four women? You know, this clearly is, they are all outsiders. There's clearly a vision that God has for this inclusion of all these folks. What do you think Matthew's goal may have been? Obviously, we aren't Matthew, so we don't know. But what do you think may have been his goal in including these women?
Well, I think it's important to remember that Matthew's gospel was written to a Jewish audience. And when they became a chosen people, God said, I have blessed you so that you can be a blessing to others. I believe that we all have this inherent chosenness that God has given us by making us in God's image. But with that chosenness comes this responsibility to bless other people. And I think including these four women, these mothers of the Messiah, is a reminder of remembering the outsider. I mean, I think it's as simple as that. And that the outsiders are part of our own story. We have all been outsiders at some point as well. And that we come from stories of outsiders, and when we are not outsiders ourselves, we need to look out for those that are often forgotten and are put on the margins.
Yeah. So just kind of going off of that, when we think about looking out for others, you know, I think that's something that obviously we as a church are called to do. So taking a look at Ruth's story, where do you see parallels today, or how the immigration experience is today? Where can you see that within the story? And also, how do churches welcome the stranger? How should we be interacting with those who are on the margins?
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things that I already mentioned is that we cannot come into this work with this Messiah kind of complex. Mm. I think when we do that, we tend to look down to people. And even with well intentions of hoping, we set up this hierarchy of like, well, we're still better than you because we are saving you. And what I love about Ruth and Boaz's story and Naomi's story is that they each play a role in the story of their family that ultimately leads to Jesus. So I think in working with immigrants, especially immigrants that feel like they're outsiders, is to remember about their agency, what their goals are, what are their needs, and letting them specify what those needs are, and working together and not in a saving complex. I think about the stuff that we do here at Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church through our outreach department and the partners that we have, our mission partners, and also even in the meals that we do, their agency is involved in there. And we look at everybody who we treat, at least I hope we are, in their inherent dignity as people, as children of God, and we partner with them.
Let's unpack that a little bit about those organizations that we work with and what we do here at Fifth Avenue. I think, you know, as a kind of a closing to this, I do want to talk about what do we do? Or imagine Ruth came to church on Sunday. You know, what would that look like for the way that we welcome her? Are there ways that things that we can do or things that we need to unlearn in order to be more welcoming? So ponder that question real quick. But I also want to just say, you know, we have the Ecumenical Outreach Partnership. That's specifically the one that I think that probably folks see the most. But people just got done serving for Fifth Avenue Serves a couple weeks ago. And I know we have partnerships with Spanish Presbyterian Church and other organizations that are doing this work. And we're able to come alongside them. And folks who are here are able to get involved with those organizations and those other churches as well. So I think for people, when they look at a story like this and they're relating it to things that are happening today, they think, I'm just one person. What can I do? And I think these are ways, you know, folks can just go on our website and look up, you know, what Fifth Avenue is already doing. With that said, what do you think it would look like if Ruth were to show up here on Sunday? What ways can we be welcoming right here at Fifth Avenue?
Yeah. So I think there's two parts to that question. What if she showed up to our church? But also, what if she showed up to our border? I do want to address that as well.
Absolutely.
If she came to the border of the United States with the story that we see, the biblical story, she would not be allowed to come to the United States because they left for economical reasons. And so she would not qualify for refugee status. There's another route that she could take. She could have somebody from here that's a immediate family member be her sponsor, but she doesn't have that. If her husband would have survived and went back to the homeland, then maybe the husband could have sponsored. But here, the only family that she has is Naomi, who is her mother-in-law. So the way that our immigration laws are set up right now, she would not be welcome to the United States. Now, we are a church. We are not a government. So I would like to think that she would be welcomed in our church space. She would be welcome to our family, our church family. I would hope that she would have not just a place at the table, but as she joins in our worship, maybe she becomes a member. I think her and Boaz have children afterwards because of the lineage. Maybe her children will become baptized in our church. But like that, not only that her and her family would have a place at the table, but a voice at the table. I imagine her becoming, regardless of her immigration status, becoming an officer of this church, joining in family ministries committee, that she would be an inherent part of our church family, not just the immigrant that we are helping along, that she would be somebody that's integrated in who we are as Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church. And with that, I hope we would partner with her and our mission partners to do what we can to journey with her in her immigration process. And that's something that this church has done with other families as well, who have been looking for that.
Yeah. Well, this has been great. I do want to follow one final question.
Oh, no. Is it a zinger?
I hope not. I just want to know what, you know, in your time researching this as kind of a news story and understanding where the lens that we were looking at with the genealogy of Jesus, what is one thing you learned that may have been new or just a different lens looking at it this way?
Yeah, I think part of it is the Boaz part of giving him credit and then not giving, then also just being like, hey, he like is simply just obeying the law. That part was new to me because I guess I put myself in Boaz's shoes of like I want to do what I can to be a righteous person who does justice, loves mercy, and walks humbly with God. And sometimes I wear that as a badge of honor. But that's what's required of us. And that's a commandment from God. And it's not something to wear as a badge of honor. It's a lifestyle of living, of hospitality, of justice. And not giving Boaz some of that credit was incredibly humbling for myself, in the way that I should be doing ministry. Of like, this is just something we're supposed to be doing. And yes, it's good, but it's something that God commands us to do.
Mm. Thank you so much for talking to me this afternoon about Ruth, Werner. Folks at home, we have one more week of Credo, and I hope you will join us.
Thank you for listening to Crossroads. Our managing editor is Jamie Staley, and our editors are Vashina Brisbane and Emily Dombroff. Thank you.